I'll tell you, I just feel blessed this evening. Just feel blessed to be in God's house. We're going to be over in Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation's 21. I'm going to read a couple. I'm going to go down through the whole, a little bit of Revelation's 21, maybe even the 22. I don't know where we're going to get to with this evening, but Lord willing, we're going to do it. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read the first three verses of Revelation's 21 here, 1, 2, and 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, be with them, and be their God. Isn't that awesome? I'll have a word of prayer, then we'll get into God's word, see more realm. Father, I want to thank you this evening, Lord, for your word. I want to thank you for your spirit. I want to thank you for your presence that we felt here this evening. I praise you for the testimonies, Lord, and for all that's been taking place here, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, now to continue to be with the service, Lord. Open up people's hearts this evening, Lord. I pray that you would open up my lips this evening, Lord. Open up my mind. And Lord, help me, Father, to preach this message the way that you would want it done, Lord, not me. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Folks, human history began in the Garden of Eden, did it not? It will end in paradise, amen? It began in paradise, and it will end in paradise one of these days. Verse 5 sums up the last two chapters of Revelation when it says, Behold, I make all things new. God said this to him, I make all things new. Listen, verse 6 tells us it is done. In other words, what began in Genesis is brought to completion in Revelations. Amen. Like it said, I read the back of the book, I know we win. You know we win. If you read it, you know we're winners. Listen, let's compare Genesis to Revelations a little bit before I get into the rest of my sermon. In Genesis 1:1, it tells us, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Revelations 2:1 says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Praise God. God began by creating everything. He created it all. And you know what? One of these days, what he created because of sin, he destroyed. He's going to destroy that, but he's going to give us something to take its place. So praise God, we understand that. You know what? It also tells us, over in Genesis 1:16, that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Over in Revelations 21:23, he says, And the city had no need of the sun. Why did it not have no need of the sun anymore? Because who was the light of that city? Our Lord and Savior. God was the light of that city. Praise God, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Praise God. It tells us in Genesis 1:5, And God called the light day, and he called the darkness, he called night. Over in Revelations, it tells us, you know what? And in the gates of, in Revelation 21:25, And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You know what? All this that happens out here in the dark, all that happens after the sun goes down, we don't have to worry about it no more. There's not going to be no more darkness where we're going to go one of these days. Amen? Genesis 1:10 tells, And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea, and God saw that it was good. But in Revelation 21:1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and first earth were passed, and there was no more sea. We have no need for it anymore, folks. The sea or the oceans kind of guide the weather pattern. We won't need that no more. Praise God, you know, we've got something a whole lot better than what was there before. It tells us in Genesis 3:19, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. He's talking about death, folks. And guess what it tells us in Revelation? It tells us in Revelation 21:4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be what? No more death. I'm here to tell you, and you know it, there's not going to be a gravestone, a tombstone in heaven. Amen? There's not going to be, there's no need for it anymore. Because praise God, you know what Adam and Eve did whenever they brought death and spiritual death upon all mankind? One day God's going to rectify that, is He not? He's going to do that. In Genesis 3:24, so He drove out the man, and He placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword would turn every way to keep the way of the tree of life. But listen to what He says in Revelation 22:14. And blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter through to the gates into that city. Praise God! What Adam and Eve took care of, God's going to make it right one of these days. When we get there, and I thought I mentioned this Wednesday night, folks, we're going to have access to the tree of life. You know, now there's no access to it. You know, but praise God, whenever we get there, we can have access to it. It tells us over in Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. What's He tell us in Revelation 21:4? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What had taken place? God had made it perfect in the beginning. Man brought it down, and God's going to make it perfect again. Amen. Don't you look forward to a place like that? Whenever we started singing, I asked Linda what she wanted to say. I didn't tell her to sing, there's a mansion over the hilltop. But praise God, whenever I sing that, I'll tell you what, the spirit of me rose up because I knew what I was preaching on this evening. And praise God, I love it when God, whenever He gives me verification of stuff like that. Don't you look forward to going to a place like that? I'm going to tell you what, this old boy does. I'm looking forward to it one of these days. Heaven is a real place. Liberals may try to doubt its existence. Let them doubt all they want to. They say it's just a state of mind. They say it's just wishful thinking. I'm telling you right now, I believe Jesus, what Jesus said in John 14:1-4, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. I want you to know, I believe what Jesus says. I don't care what every liberal in the world may want to say. I don't care what every preacher in the world that doesn't believe in heaven has to say. I believe there is a literal heaven. And praise God, if we're saved and born again, then the day we die, I want you to know we're going to that place. It's literal, it's tangible, it's described in detail. John said in verses 1 and 2, I saw. John saw it. And I want you to know one of these days, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. We'll all have glorified bodies. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead with His glorified body, did He not? He could pass through walls, yet He could touch people, could He not? And people could touch Him. You know what? It says that He it'll be a different existence for us. You know what? It said He could touch, sit down with people. He said He even ate. And guess what we're going to do one of these days? We're going to sit down to the Lamb, to the marriage supper, are we not? Praise God. We're going to sit down one of these days, folks. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. Praise God. It'll be different existence for us, but it's as real gets, is it not? It's there, folks. It's real, no matter what they want to say. I tell you what, praise God, heaven is a remaining place. I want you to listen to this. In verse 1 tells us, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Nothing you see that's physical in this earth is going to last. Nothing. Everything that you have on this earth that you've worked for, maybe you worked for it all your life, whether it be your house, whether it be whatever it may be, it's not going to last. Do we understand that? I often say this, and I believe, you know, there are people that work all their lives and have retirements built up and leave a bunch of stuff to their kids. But you know what happens? The moment that they die, all that stuff goes to somebody else. And you know what? All that's left is their soul before a just and a living God. Amen? That's all that's left. That's all. We all like to have nice things, but don't get too attached to them, folks. Can I tell you that? And I don't, you know what? Because they're not permanent. In the end, all that's left is our souls. And that's it. That's it. That's all that's left. All we have is eternity is the treasures we send ahead, right? That's all that we have when we get there. We only have one life to do with. Oh, I'll tell you a little story. And this is, of course, this is fictitious, but two women had died and went to heaven. Both of them were Christians. One of them was wealthy, and one of them was her maid that did work for her. The woman that was wealthy was kind of greedy, not greedy, but kind of like miserly. And it was kind of like pulling teeth to get her to give. And the woman that was her maid, she had worked for her all of her life, and she was willing to give her what she had. She didn't make a whole lot, but whatever she had, she was willing to give. So both of them had died, and both of them went to heaven. And whenever they got up there, the wealthy woman got up there, and the angel was showing her around, taking her down the streets of gold, taking her to her place. They're taking her to the place that God had prepared for her. Well, she's walking down the street. The angel points out, he said, "Listen, right here is your maid's mansion." I guess it was just glorious. It was beautiful, according to the way this story goes. And that woman said, "Man," she said, "I can't wait to see mine." So they walk on down the street a little bit, and they get down there, and here's this cardboard shack right there. And she said, "What's this?" And the angel looked at her and said, "Well, you didn't send a whole lot for us to work with." And I thought, man, wow, that's a good story. But you know what? The angel told her that, but in Matthew 6:19-21, it tells us, "Lay not yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasures is, there your heart is also." What are you sending before you? Can I ask you that this evening? You know what? Heaven is such a wonderful place. But what are you sending ahead? What treasures are you? What is your rewards going to be one of these days? Can I ask you that? Every stain of sin, every evidence of evil will be vanquished. You know what? As well as when this old earth is destroyed, folks, all that is left is our souls, our spiritual investments stored up for us. I think one of the most precious experiences that we will ever have when we get to heaven is if someone comes up to us and says, "You know what? You're the one that helped me get saved. You're the one that witnessed to me. You're the one that I heard your testimony one night." And you know what? I believe that when we get there, people will say that to us. You know what I believe? They'll say, "Thank you for being the witness. Thank you for being the one that you should have been that helped get me to where I am today." Praise God. I am thankful for that. I am thankful that we serve a Jesus like that loves us enough for that. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Heaven is a ready place, is it not? Verses 2 of that tells us in Revelation 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city in Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared," listen to me, "prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." God has spent a lot of time readying heaven for the redeemed, has he not? He created the heavens and earth in 6 days. Did he not? He's had over 2,000 years to prepare heaven for us. Amen? He's had that long. And praise God, I believe it's going to be wonderful. I believe it's going to be marvelous. I believe when we see the Apostle John in heaven, and you know what? He's up there. I believe, you know what? We're going to ask him, "Why didn't you tell us how breathtaking it was? Why didn't you tell us how beautiful it was?" And you know what he's going to say? "Words could not comprehend it. I couldn't write it down. There's no way that I could write it down." He'll probably say, when he said over in 1 Corinthians 2:9, when he said, "But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." I want you to know something this evening. I cannot describe heaven. I cannot. I could try to and tell you what I think heaven's about, and I'm telling you, I'll come up short. And you would too, because we have no idea, nothing to compare it to. There's nothing down there to compare it to. I want to tell you this too also. If the streets in heaven were gravel, if the walls were made out of plasterboard, if there was mud knee deep, and if the grass was over our heads, you know what? It would still be heaven. Why? Because Jesus is there. Amen? It wouldn't make any, because the Lord that we serve, the one that did it, is there. It wouldn't make any difference. But for us believers, it's a precious thought. We look upon the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, and they'll be there. His hands and his feet, the only thing that was made by man that'll be there, and we know that, is there's nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and you know what? There'll be a reminder as to why we're there, right? They'll be a reminder as to what got us there. Hey, praise God. Heaven's not a reward for those who work for it. Listen to me. We can't work our way into heaven. There's no way. We'll get there because we're related. You know what? We'll get there because we're related. Whenever we became born again Christians, we become sons of God. We're related to the great I Am. Praise God. We are one of them. It's not because we worked our way up there. There's no way. I'll tell you why I say this. I don't care. If you had every dime in this world, you couldn't buy yourself into heaven. There's not enough money in this world to buy yourself that way. You know what? Verses 4 and 5 in Revelation, it says, heaven is a place of relief, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. And you know what? And he that sat upon the throne, he said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, for they are true and faithful. Mark them down. Mark it down. You'll not have to put up with what you put up with in this life down here. I don't care if you've got little aches and pains, or I don't care if you've got cancer ravishing your body. Praise God, one of these days, you'll never have to deal with it ever again. Amen. Not again. Yeah, praise God. You know what? Listen to this. The more you go through down here, the sweeter heaven is going to be for you. Am I right there? It's going to be. Romans 8:18. For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You're suffering down here. Things aren't going the way they should. Listen to me. There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Praise God. You know that. Praise God. Heaven is a place of refreshing. We know that. It will be. Listen to what verse 6 tells us there. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Folks, when we get up there, not only is the tree of life going to be there, but the fountain of the water of life is going to be there also. We have so much. We have so much refreshing coming our way. How satisfying is heaven? Every righteous desire that we will be perfectly and completely satisfied. Everything that we have. Praise God. I tell you, heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a wonderful place. I mean, like I said, I can't even begin to compare to tell you what it's like. Here on earth, we pursue happiness. All of us try to pursue happiness down here. And you know what? Where does it get some of them sometimes? I'll tell you, it doesn't get them very far. For when they find out and they get to this one point and they think, well, you know, I'll be happy now. Usually they're not. And they go and pursue something else. But praise God, I want you to know something. When we get to heaven, we'll not have to pursue anything else. Amen? It'll be done. It'll be over with. Praise God, because Jesus said it is perfect. He'll be the one that'll be the refreshing. Heaven will be a restricted place. You know what? Verse 8, in the middle of all this, he said, he tells us who's coming, but then he tells us in verse 8 who's not going to be there. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These shall not be there if they do not accept Jesus. And he tells us that. So he tells us it is a restricted place, but it's only restricted to those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the only ones it's restricted to. Praise God. The fearful, never accepting Christ, afraid to take a stand. The unbelieving are those who didn't believe at all in Christ or the Bible. The abominable, not just sinners, these have committed abominations. From God's perspective, there's no difference. There's no difference between big and little sins. And there's not. I have preached that and I believe that. I don't care if you are the best person on this earth. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a sinner. You're just in the same boat as all those that you want to categorize out there, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be child molesters. You're in the same boat. We need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what it's all about. There's no big or little sins. There's none. Praise God. These are the people who died in their sins, never repenting. That's sad to me. That is very sad. You know what? I heard a preacher say this the other day, and I agree with him 100%. He said, don't stand up preaching that hell was for the lost and be proud about it. And think that, you know what, oh boy, they're going to get theirs now. That's not the way I preach about hell. I'm telling you what, I don't want no one to go to that place. I'm sorry, I don't want no one to go to that place. I want them to go to heaven. That's where I want them to go. And sorcerers, could it mean witchcraft? Could it mean all manner of things? But pray, I want you to know something. If they die in their sins, they're going to a devil's hell. They're going there to be with the devil for eternity whenever he's cast into it. Amen. Listen, heaven is a place of riches. I can't even go about trying to explain to you what's going to be in heaven. You know, they say all manner of gemstones, all the streets of gold. I mean, we could just go on and on and on and talking about how heaven is. But you know what, this evening, that doesn't make any difference to me. I just want to go there to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But praise God, you know what? And this is said probably thousands of times. But we're going to be walking on stuff that people fight over down here. We're going to be walking on you know what? The gold that's on the streets in heaven, I would say, is as pure a gold. There's no pure gold anywhere than what's right there. And praise God, the foundation and all that go with it, all the walls, all the gates and everything that's in it. Praise God, we can have that. And we will have that one of these days. And folks, heaven is a place of refuge. Heaven is a place of righteousness. You know, they tell me, they says over in the book of Revelations that the New Jerusalem is 1,500 square. Have you ever, that's like going from, I think, Maine down to Florida and 1,500 miles wide, and it said it's that tall. I've read commentators that said that it could hold every human being in this world if they were saved. It had ever been and ever was. It could hold that many people. It could hold them. But you know what? It's not going to be that way, is it? Unfortunately, it's not going to be that way. Because there are those who will not accept Jesus Christ. It's a place of refuge for all who want it. It is a place of refuge. You know what? There's no secrets. There's no sinners. It's a place of wonder and amazement. And I tell you, I wish I could describe it better. I wish I could. But praise God, you know what? We're left to our imaginations, are we not? And you know what? My imaginations can run pretty wild sometimes when it comes to heaven. I complain. Oh, Herb Hoover. Herbie, I used to go to 14th Avenue with him. And Herb loved the fish. He loved to fish. But anyway, he stood up and he would testify. He said, you know what? He said, I love to fish. And he said, whenever I get to heaven, he said, I hope I can just throw my line in the river of life. He said, I hope I can do that and just sit there and fish. I mean, that was just his idea of what heaven would be like. I don't know. And praise God, you know, if he can do it, I'm going to tell you right now, Herb's up there fishing. I know it. He is. But praise God. You know what? I don't know what your idea of heaven is, but you know what? Mine is a place where, you know, I can go and my soul is satisfied for eternity. A place where I don't have to worry about being tortured down here and the devil coming after me at all angles and my body getting tired and getting worn out. I believe heaven is that way. I want to tell you something this evening. Listen to me. If you're here tonight and you know don't know and you can't say 100% for sure that you're going to heaven, if something would happen to you this evening, I want you to come to this altar. I'm begging you. If you don't know for sure, come tonight. Come this evening and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And you know what? I want us all to go together up there. I want us all to be up there together. You know what? We'll see our loved ones. We'll see John and Peter and all the ones that have passed, all the great ones in the Bible that I believe will be up there. But you know what? We're going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is going to be there. Isn't that just an awesome thought? Isn't that amazing and awesome thought? One of these days, our faith is going to turn to sight. It's going to turn to sight. We're going to see it for ourselves, no matter what people say.